Now, Loki is a professor of the streets. He's a wordsmith. He's a musician. He's a hip-hop artist at the top of his trade. And he's the host of the Watchdog podcast, veteran political campaigner and all-round hero. It's Loki, and he joins me now. Loki, welcome. You're a football man like me, so we're missing the build-up, at least, to the Europa League final. I'll not test you on which side you want to win. But I did want to ask you a slightly football-aligned question. Gary Lineker, one of England's finest ever footballers, and definitely the BBC's best pundit, has been forced out of the BBC because he dared to raise a whisper of complaint about the mass murder in Gaza. What does that tell us about him? What does it tell us about the BBC?
Well, thank you so much, George, for the very kind introduction and invitation, and I'm very happy to be here. Actually, first, I did want to address your very fascinating poll about whether Piers Morgan is in fact a useful idiot of Israel. Now, it's important that people are aware of the following information when they make the decision on the poll. Piers Morgan's show is, while he claims it's independent, it is still something that happens under the auspices of Rupert Murdoch's News Corp International. Now, Rupert Murdoch has a long relationship with Netanyahu, which is, of course, well known. But there's another aspect to Piers Morgan's show, which far less people know. His show is sponsored directly by ExpressVPN. Now, ExpressVPN, the sole owner of it is Cape Technologies. Cape Technologies is an Israeli company owned by Israeli billionaire Teddy Sagi. Now, during the war in Gaza, Teddy Sagi has given $3 million to Israeli soldiers, and he also provided $250,000 to help transport Israeli military personnel during the genocide. His co-founder at Cape Technologies is Kobi Menachemi, who was previously an employee of the Israeli spy group Unit 8200. And also the CEO of that organization, Cape Technologies, was previously Ido Ehrlichman, who was a soldier in Unit 217, the Duvdivan unit. They call them Musta'arabin. They go disguised as Arabs to carry out intelligence operations and assassinations against Palestinians, as we have seen a plethora of this sort in the recent period in Gaza, in Jenin, and other places. And the current head of accounting at Cape Technologies, very likely to be the person who allocates funding towards Piers Morgan or any of the other podcasts who are also sponsored by the Cape Technologies company ExpressVPN, is Liron Peer, who is also an alumni of Unit 8200. So here we literally see Piers Morgan, probably unbeknownst to him. I think he's completely aware of Rupert Murdoch's inclinations and associations, but I don't think he's so aware that ExpressVPN is a Cape Technologies owned enterprise, and Cape Technologies is literally directly related to the Israeli military. You also have to remember that Teddy Sagi owns Camden Market. So I think that if you were looking at boycotting, Camden Market would certainly qualify with this relationship with Teddy Sagi. Now, in terms of the Gary Lineker question, we have to remember, George, that Gary Lineker has been subject to an Israel lobby campaign, you know, as the highest paid employee of the BBC. He was subject to this campaign for several years. Now, that campaign was led by UK Lawyers for Israel, which, it has to be remembered, when it was originally registered on Companies House in October 2010, it was registered as, quote unquote, Action for Peace. However, in May 2011, the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs had a post on its site dedicated solely to the creation of the UK Lawyers for Israel. It later on, of course, hosted a two-day seminar with the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the Israeli Embassy in London, and of course hosted several speakers from the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs. It is essentially an arm of the Israeli government, and the head of this organization, which has militated against Gary Lineker for so many years, Jonathan Turner, actually has gone on record as saying that the blockade of Gaza will actually help decrease obesity and thus increase life expectancy in Gaza. Just so you have an understanding of what type of maniacs we are actually dealing with. UK lawyers for Israel went as far as bullying an NHS hospital to take, or lobbying an NHS hospital, I should say, to take children from Gaza's artwork out of the hospital. I mean, it's just beyond belief. They've even had a role in editing textbooks in this country on the content that relates to Palestine. But the bigger question, George, as you will well know, is what exactly is happening at the BBC. Now, you have to remember that currently in a key position at the BBC, in charge of, according to the BBC website, upholding and protecting the independence of the BBC, is Robbie Gibb. Now, who is Robbie Gibb? Robbie Gibb is, simultaneous to his job at the BBC, the sole director and owner of Jewish Chronicle Media. Now, the Jewish Chronicle, which was found to be producing stories that seem to come directly from Benjamin Netanyahu's office, is a well-established pro-Israel smear factory, which has smeared yourself, I'm sure, hundreds of times, smeared me tens of times, and pretty much anyone who supports the Palestinian cause has, of course, been written about in derisive tones by the Jewish Chronicle. Now, surely that is a clear conflict of interest for Robbie Gibb to have this role at the BBC, supposedly upholding independence, at the same time as being the director and owner of the Jewish Chronicle. But his conflicts of interest actually go farther, George. So on his personal declaration of private interests, Robbie Gibb stated that he currently has a job at Kesk CNC, which is a PR company. So he's employed by this PR company, which was founded by a chairman of the Weizmann Institute in Israel, Gershon Kesk, at the same time as he's employed by the BBC. Surely, being employed by a PR company and a news company, these things would rub up against each other. But what also needs to be stated is that Kesk is a subsidiary of the Publicis Group. Now, the Publicis Group, according to its CEO, has staff that are currently in the Israeli military fighting in Gaza. Again, a massive conflict of interest. Also, Gibb has a paid role at JL Partners, which was founded by James Johnson, a pollster for Theresa May, and Tom Lubbock, a former pollster for the Conservative Party under Boris Johnson. But then you get to the question of the BBC's online Middle East editor, the very individual behind those headlines, which essentially put Palestinian deaths at the hands of Israeli soldiers in the passive voice and work to sort of invisibilize the Israeli bombs that fall on Palestinians. Well, who is that? That is Rafi Berg. Now, Rafi Berg is somebody that collaborated with Israeli intelligence personnel in order to write a book about them, and then was so happy with Benjamin Netanyahu's response that he framed the letter from Benjamin Netanyahu and put it on his wall. And that's right next to a framed picture of himself with the Israeli ambassador to the UK at the time, Mark Regev. This is the person that is editing the headlines regarding Palestine and Gaza in the BBC. But I've also looked into it, George, and found several people who were employed by the BBC after being in the Israeli occupation forces. So, for instance, there's an individual by the name of Ronnie Belenki. She was a project manager at the BBC after being a commander in the Israeli military. There was even an individual by the name Eli Ovitz, who claimed to be an assistant producer for the BBC at the same time as being a spokesperson for the Israeli military. You also had Bar Ben Youssef, who was somebody that was a BBC scriptwriter after being a soldier in the Israeli military, and someone by the name of Shirona Partim, who was a BBC news producer after being in the Israeli military. And another glaring conflict of interest was Mark Berg, who went from being a BBC editor to then going and being director of BICOM, Israel's largest lobby group in this country. And guess what he did after several years working as director of BICOM? He went back to the BBC and worked on the show Hard Talk, for example, and other key BBC shows. So really what we're talking about here, George, is what happened to Gary Lineker being a symptom of corporation capture. We are seeing clearly that Israel has pro-Israel forces deeply embedded within the BBC, who will be working lock in step with the Israel lobby outside of the BBC to engineer something like what has happened to Gary Lineker.
There's another football story relating to Israel-Palestine. In the 20-year kit man of Arsenal Football Club, supported, it's said, by the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer, they have sacked their kit man for his entirely private Facebook postings, which have nothing to do with Arsenal, nothing to do with his job, because he was a supporter of the Palestinian people. Has Israel conquered the football industry too?
Well, it's worthy of note, actually, that the wife of Stanley Kroenke, the owner of Arsenal now, is through the Walton Family Foundation. They have investments directly into pro-Israel organizations. And so while, unfortunately, the Arsenal fan base may not be that way inclined, you do have a strong force at the club right now pushing in pro-Israel directions. Of course, I had a friend of mine who used to feature on AFTV, the popular YouTube channel, and when he dared to wear a Palestinian badge on his kit, he was told by Robbie, the head honcho at AFTV, that he either takes off the badge or leaves the channel. And that's what happened. He left the channel. So unfortunately, this gentleman at Highbury is not the first victim of this cancel culture operating within the football world and within Arsenal, to be specific. But, you know, as you can see, George, someone who has given decades of your life to the Palestinian cause, we are really at a new juncture with all of this. You have the liberals of yesteryear who did Israel's bidding in the attritional war against Corbynism, where they cancelled everything that moved or breathed in a pro-Palestinian direction, today hand-wringing and in disbelief about Israel and its butchery against the people of Gaza. And there is really a bitter vindication in that for all of us who have really given so much sweat, tears, and actually blood for the Palestinian cause across these decades.
I was going to ask you about that latter point. Let me invite you to expand on it. We now have the site of the British Labour government, which has backed Israel's every move all this time, now trying to persuade us that they think Netanyahu is going too far. Do you believe them?
Well, actually, George, as has been found, there were more arms shipments to Israel carried out by the Labour government than there were by the Conservative government, for starters. We know that Britain has sent the R1 Shadow spy plane on the top of Gaza, even just a few hours after David Lammy's theatrical speech in Parliament yesterday. We know that everyone from Lammy to Keir Starmer have been funded by key Israel lobbyists like Trevor Chin and others. And also on top of this, we know that through Akwatiri, Britain is sharing intelligence with Israel and has been helping it. One of the specialities of the R1 Shadow spy plane is target acquisition. So we have to even wonder, in the cases where British citizens were killed by the Israeli military on the very same day that you had the British spy planes over the top of Gaza, what type of culpability are we talking about here? These people are attempting to legally cover their backs. But also, it's worth noting that the UK Foreign Office admitted that at least 80 British nationals were in the Israeli military just a month before October 7th. You've got an individual like Sam Sank, who filmed himself fighting in Gaza between December 2023 and January 2024. This was someone that also met Boris Johnson as an Israeli soldier. You've got other figures like Hani Volker. This is a British citizen who has been there fighting for Israel. Daniel Menzer, and even the son of Lord Wolfson, a Conservative peer in the House of Lords. But you have to remember, George, that this is also a structural arrangement. You have an organization like Garan Tazaba, which directly facilitates the journey of people from outside of the Israeli entity into it to join the military, and sometimes even without having citizenship in Israel. So Garan Tazaba has offices in Finchley in this country and is still operating from here. But overall, we've looked into it, George, and we have found around 5 to 6 charities in this country directly materially supporting the Israeli military and its soldiers throughout the genocide. Now, what are those charities? Firstly, there's the UK Friends of the Association for the Wellbeing of Israel's Soldiers. Now, that is headed by the former head of British forces in Iraq and Afghanistan, Richard Kemp. And that organization has literally built swimming pools for Israeli soldiers not far from the torture camp of Sidi Tayman, where you've seen Palestinians raped by Israeli forces. You've got Technion UK, which directly trains people, even in intelligence gathering, to move them into the Israeli military. Another organization that is a charity in this country, ORT, which also works on arming the Israeli military. You've got Beit Halochim, which translates to House of the Warrior. Now, this charity raised in one night in London £2 million for the Israeli forces during this genocide. Another one, UK Toramit, which funnels funds into the Israeli military and then works on with particular groups like One People to provide arms for the Israeli military. Another one, British Friends of Israel's War Disabled. This organization has actually brought 5,000 Israeli soldiers into this country. But you also have to remember, when it comes to the question of the Labour Party and these organizations, I've found people that fund both these organizations arming the Israeli military and fund the Labour Party. So, for instance, Israel lobbyist Victor Blank gave £175,000 to Rachel Reeves prior to her becoming the Chancellor of the Exchequer. This was at the same time that he was funding three organizations that directly fund the Israeli army: Beit Halochim, ORT, and Technion UK. So there needs to be a lot of court cases. There needs to be a lot of people arrested, including the Prime Minister of this country, Keir Starmer, and the previous Prime Minister of this country, Rishi Sunak.